The scripture today is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, King James Version. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ms. Tommy, for reading scripture for us today. So today, we continue the series on the carols of Christmas, and we're going to be looking at Hark the Herald Angels Sing this morning. In two of my previous churches where I've served, we used to do these full reenactments of the Christmas story. And they were generally the week or so leading up to Christmas. And in both of those churches, the angel was a prominent character within that storyline. And usually, in both of these churches, I found it interesting that in both of them, the role of the lead angel was given to a senior girl. So a girl that was about to graduate from high school. And it was an honor to be chosen to play that role in the Christmas story. But it was also a little risky. And let me tell you why. Because in one church, the angel was placed high above the nativity. So picture the nativity on the stage, and there was a scaffolding that was built up behind the nativity, and way up at the top, that girl had to climb, and she was perched up there. And she had to hold her arms up for about 20 to 30 minutes, and the whole time, there were these bright spotlights on her. I mean, nothing could go wrong with that, right? I watched that thing enacted for 5 years, and I was just holding my breath the whole time, thinking, oh my gosh, I hope she doesn't faint and pass out up there. It could be bad. All right, so that's the one church. Okay, another church. The angel wore these massive wings. So someone in the church had constructed a set of wings for this angel, and they spanned 8 to 10 feet wide. Okay? And so this teenage girl had to wait for her cue to come out, and there was a door like right over there, and an adult had to assist her in getting through that door with those wings, and when she would flip them around, I mean, it was a sight to behold. I mean, we're all ducking I mean, there's poinsettias that people are catching, the Christmas trees, you know. It was always quite an ordeal. Honestly, it felt like we were trying to land a small aircraft. But every time, without fail, the congregation would ooh and ah when the angel appeared. She was always beautiful and radiant. She was glorious. And thankfully, no one ever fell from the scaffolding or took out half the sanctuary with those wings. But you know, angels tend to have that effect on us. They get our attention. And I really like that about that. They grabbed our attention. There was something unique about them. But here's the thing. In Scripture, angels are never the point. Angels appear because God is doing something important. They are messengers. They aren't the message. They're signposts. They're not the destination. And whenever angels appear in the Christmas story, they are announcing the same truth, but in different ways. They announce that God is drawing near. That God is putting His love on display. And that's the song behind one of our most beloved Christmas carols, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Charles Wesley wrote thousands of hymns. Each one was dense with scripture and theology. Just as you were singing it this morning, you probably noticed a number of biblical references to the character of Christ, the image of Christ in that hymn. You know, the Wesley brothers believed that hymns should teach the faith as much as sermons did. They were equally important. And Hark the Herald Angels Sing may be one of the clearest musical sermons ever written. The hymn opens with that very first line, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn King. Angels always call our attention because they bring good news that we can never discover on our own. And what they announce here is nothing less than the gospel on display. The first verse echoes the angelic song to the shepherds that we read last week in Luke chapter 2. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Then comes one of the most powerful lines in all of Wesley's hymns. He says, God and sinners reconciled. That's why there's peace on earth. It's because God and human beings are reconciled through the coming of Christ, through His message, His death and resurrection. You know, there's peace not because the world is just suddenly calm, but because broken relationships get mended, reconciled. You know, Matthew tells us that when Joseph learns that Mary is pregnant, he plans to quietly dismiss her, to put off the wedding. He's confused, he's hurt, and there, right in the middle of his turmoil, the angel appears, and he says, Joseph, you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You see, the angels don't announce relationship advice. They announce that God is putting His love on display through the birth of this child. To Mary, the angel says, you will give birth to a son, and his kingdom, it'll never end. To Joseph, he goes on to say, to expound upon this name Jesus by saying he will save his people from their sins. And then later, after the birth, to the shepherds, the angels, they proclaim great news of great joy to all people. Why? Because a Savior has been born. You see, there's all these different audiences, but it's the same message. That God has come to reconcile what was broken. This is why Jesus came. You know, it reminds me of a recent, of course, I'm going to tell you a bike ride story, right? Okay, so it reminds me of a recent ride that I was on. I came upon a sign that was in the middle of the road, and it said, road closed, bridge is out. And like any reasonable adult, I thought, well, that probably doesn't apply to me. I mean, I'm on a bicycle. Surely I can get around whatever's up the road. You know, I thought the sign was maybe old. Maybe they hadn't actually torn the bridge out yet. Maybe they just put that big pile of dirt up, you know, at the beginning of the bridge. And usually I could just hop right over that. But when I reached the spot, oh yeah, that bridge was out. I mean, literally, they had torn the whole thing out. There was nothing there but a big creek with these high, muddy banks. And I realized that I had greatly overestimated my athletic abilities and my wisdom. No bridge, no way to cross, no clever workaround. The only thing I could do was turn around, and that's what I had to do. Y'all, I can't help but think about that as a picture of humanity's condition before Jesus. We sense that God is over there. He's on the other side, and there's no way that we can get home to Him. There's this gap that we cannot cross on our own. Y'all, that's part of the gospel, isn't it? That's part of our sinful human condition. But then the angels show up and they announce the good news of the gospel of Jesus. They announce that a way home is going to be made. It's going to be restored through Christ. You see, the cross is that bridge, right? That helps us to get home to God. Jesus is the way. And the Father has put His love on display in sending His Son so that the relationship can be reconciled. You know, the second verse takes us deeper into the mystery. Oh, this verse is really dense. But Charles writes, or pens these words, he says, veiled in flesh, the Godhead seen. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. I mean, those words, they just roll so naturally and beautifully. But this is not just simply poetry. It's stunning theology. The eternal God does not shout salvation from heaven, but God comes near. He takes on flesh. And as the Gospel of John tells us, He moved into our neighborhood. God gets close. And notice the phrase, pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. You know, that word Emmanuel means God with us, right? Not God above us, not God against us, but God with us. The angels reveal that this child will be the Son of the Most High God, divine. God does not love us from afar, but He comes to dwell with us. He puts his love on display among us. And then the hymn, in that third verse, it turns toward hope. Wesley pens these words, "Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth." You see, love on display doesn't just stop at the manger with the birth of this baby, this child, this Christ child, but rather it leads to new life. It leads to resurrection and the hope that we as Christians have beyond the grave. You see, the angels, they don't announce an escape plan. They announce new life here and now and for the future. The hope of second birth means that we're not trapped by our past. We're not trapped in our separation from, due to our sin and our transgressions and being separated from God. We're not trapped by those things, our mistakes. But they can be covered over. Our story can have a new chapter. A second birth means that grief and sorrow do not get the last word. The grave isn't a dead end. Second birth means God is doing something new in us. You see, love on display, it leads to the fullness of the life of God. And y'all, throughout this hymn, we hear the refrain, "Glory to the newborn King." You see, it brings everything together. The newborn King was promised to Mary. The angel said the Lord God would give him the throne of his father David, and his kingdom, it will never end. Y'all, this is not hidden love. This is not quiet love. This is not cautious love. But this is love on display. And that's why the angels see it. They see it. It has been revealed to them. And to all of us who have had the love of God revealed, we too join in the song of these angels. For God has come near to us. The way has been opened for us. And the King has arrived. And the good news, the hope that we cling to, is that one day the King will return and will make all things new. And so the song, it rings out, "Glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Amen. Let us be called to prayer with the hymn, the First Noel. We're going to play through a verse of that as we prepare our hearts to turn to God in prayer this morning. Thank you. Gracious God, we thank you for showing us your love so clearly in Jesus. And when the way was blocked and we could not reach you, you came to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son. Thank you for forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for peace that comes through our confession, that comes through the acknowledgement of our shortcomings, which comes also when we reach the end of ourselves and we recognize our own limits and weaknesses. God, we thank you for the gift of new life. Help us not only to receive the love of Christ, but Lord, we ask that you would also help us to live it, to reflect it to others. And today, as we leave this place to go into the week ahead, a week filled with celebration and family time, a time of giving gifts, a time of remembering those who are grieving this holiday season. Lord, as we go into this week, may our lives point to Christ so that your love is on display through us. On display in our family time and as we serve. This is our prayer today, Lord. May your love be on display through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we want to thank y'all so much for joining us in worship today. I want to remind you of our Christmas Eve services on Wednesday. So we will have come-and-go communion from 3:30 to 4:30. So show up any time during that hour with your family. And just come sit in the congregation. And when you're ready to receive communion, just come down to the rail. And Jake and I will serve you guys. And then at 5 o'clock, we have our candlelight service. And that's it's one of my greatest services of the whole year that you get to participate in. And we'll have communion during that service. It'll be by intention, okay? So we'll have stations set up out here for you to come and receive communion. After you receive, the rails will be open for you to come and pray if you would like. And we'll close out the service with singing by candlelight. So I hope you'll make it to our services this week and also invite your friends and family to join you. And now, immediately after this service, Miss Jenny, we're going to honor you. And we can't wait to spend some time with you and your family. Thank you guys for being here to celebrate this special day with us as we honor her and her many years of service to our church. I appreciate that Sarah was making that organ sing in that opener this morning. And throughout the day, she did a great job. So I send you forth with this benediction. Go now in peace, just as the angels proclaimed it long ago, glory to God in the highest, and peace to you through Jesus Christ. May the love God put on display in the birth of his Son, may it fill your hearts, guide your steps, and be seen in the way that you live this week. Go in the name of the newborn King. Go in peace. God bless you.